Right now we're talking about the Orioles and their pending signing of right-hander Ubaldo Jimenez. Jordan Bastian, who covers the Indians for MLB.com, joins us. Jordan, thanks for coming on the program.
Hey, no problem. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. So you look at Jimenez, and obviously last year was a good year, 13-9, that 3.3 ERA. He made 32 starts, but particularly down the stretch last year, there were few, if any, better starters in the American League than Jimenez last year in the second half.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he led the American League in ERA in the second half. You know, he really turned it on in September. He was just dominant. He was overpowering. He had a slew of double-digit strikeout games, and for the first time in 2.5 years in an Indians uniform, he started cutting down the walks, getting really aggressive, and I think once that team was in that stretch run and competing for that wild card spot, he took a lot of pride in kind of putting them on his shoulders, especially when Justin Masterson went down with an injury. So, I mean, he was an integral part down the stretch in the second half for that Indians team that really shocked a lot of people to get to the playoffs and host that wild card game. And one of the reasons that the Indians did surprise a lot of people last year was how bad Ubaldo was the year before. I mean, they were relying on a guy that lost 17 games, looked completely lost. His velocity had dropped a ton. You know, he was all over the map and led the league in walks and things like that. I mean, he was a mechanical disaster. And last season, we were working with pitching coach Mickey Callaway in Cleveland, really sorted some things out and, you know, kind of looked like the guy that was the rotation ace for the Rockies, you know, back in 2010.
And also, what's interesting is, considering the two or three really good years he had in Colorado, last year was really by far his best year in strikeouts per nine innings. So I have to think the stuff in the second half of the year and really down the stretch was off the charts.
It was. And I think one thing he did last season, which he didn't do in his first couple of years with the Indians, was, you know, he really struggled early on when he came to Cleveland, you know, worrying about how much velocity he had lost. You know, he spent a lot of times kind of looking back at that radar gun and, you know, trying to, you know, reach back and throw it harder. And, you know, that just really wasn't helping him. He's a really lanky guy whose mechanics are unorthodox. You know, I think the more he tried to reach back, the worse his mechanics got, and it just wasn't helping him. So I think last year down the stretch, you know, he stopped worrying about how hard he was throwing. You know, he really worked on having a specific plan for specific types of hitters. You know, if you look at his pitch usage, it changed a little last season, you know, over previous years. I think he finally came to terms with the fact that he wasn't going to throw as hard and he needed to be smarter about his approach. And then towards the end of the year, he did start throwing harder again. So, you know, I think you kind of saw it all come together, and that's what the Orioles are obviously banking on, that this wasn't just a fluke, that he found something and, you know, he's going to be able to maintain it.
So what was he throwing down the stretch velocity-wise?
You know, I mean, he started hitting 95 again. You
wow.
Know, which, you know, it's at times, I mean, I would say he was still sitting around 93, you know, 94. But, you know, he wasn't dialing it up and getting the 97, 98, 99s like he did when he was younger with the Rockies. You know, but at some point in many players' careers, that, you know, that's not sustainable, and they got to learn how to adjust and just be smarter on the mound. And, you know, last year, after really struggling with that for a couple seasons, I think that's what he finally realized and accepted, and I think that was a big part of it, was that acceptance of that.
So in your estimation, was this a mental thing for Jimenez or a mechanical thing that just went wrong? We know he has somewhat of a different delivery. He is 6'5", and a lot of pitchers in baseball are 6'5", but he tends to be a little more of a lanky look at 6'5". Is it just mechanical, the fact the velocity went away, and then he started getting banged around pretty good, and also all the walks getting piled up? What do you think it is, above all, that he really, for about 2.5 years, lost it completely?
You know, it's a combination of both. I think one fueled the other. You know, the mechanics got away from him, and then he started getting in his own head. And, you know, he'll be the first to admit, when you guys talk to him and ask him about those really rough seasons, that he did feel completely lost on the mound, and that's where the mental aspect comes into play. And last year, as he started finding those mechanics again and gaining the confidence, you know, all of a sudden he looked like a guy who wanted to go out there every day. And I don't think the same could be said of two seasons ago, when he looked like a guy that couldn't wait for the off season to arrive so he could kind of sort out what was going wrong. So, You know, I think given that history of the recent history with the Indians, even going back to 2010 and kind of the second half he had there, you know, this is obviously a gamble by Baltimore. But yeah, again, if he did turn a corner last year, you know, this will turn out to be a fair deal, but you know, it's definitely a risk.
Jordan Bastian from MLB.com, he covers the Indians, is with us for another few minutes here. And Jordan, when you look at the Indians' desire to keep contending and stay competitive, why didn't they try and pony up to keep Jimenez? I understand they are on a tighter budget maybe than Baltimore and maybe 28 other clubs in the big leagues, but was there ever consideration to bring back Jimenez? I know they tendered him an offer, and that's why the Orioles have to give up their first-round pick next year, or this year, I should say, but how serious were they about retaining him?
You know, I don't think they would have been serious unless the market continued to crumble and it went down to a much shorter-term deal. You know, I think a team like Cleveland, we spoke with the GM, Chris Antonetti, today about the draft pick compensation. You know, they really value increasing the probability of getting top talent in the draft, because this is an organization that's not going to be, you know, a big frontline competitor in the free agent market. It needs to have its own homegrown talent, and that's why acquiring as many draft picks as you can is so important. So, you know, I think they really weren't going to be a big player unless he was willing to come back and, you know, maybe accept that qualifying offer, or, you know, take a shorter two-year deal, or maybe toss an option or something. But, you know, as we saw, I think he got a longer-term deal and maybe more money than people expected him to get, given how long the market took to shape up and, you know, kind of the mysterious nature of his market, you know, which it looked like Toronto, maybe Baltimore, heard whispers of Boston, things like that. But, you know, I just don't think the Indians were ever going to be big players.
You saw Irvin Santana a bunch last year when he was with KC. And I will end on this. Who do you think is a safer bet for teams? Let's just say money's equal, years are equal. Jimenez, Irvin Santana, similar in age, similar track records of up and down careers where you've seen him be so good and then see just perplexing years where their ERAs mm-hmm. are in the mid to high fives. Who do you think is a safer bet right now, Santana or Jimenez?
You know, it's my gut would lean towards Irvin Santana simply because I think because I covered Jimenez for these last 2.5 years and I saw how bad it got in stretches, I can really understand why a team like Cleveland wouldn't be willing to commit 4 years to him. You know, not only the money, but just the unpredictability of what he gave. And I know Santana kind of had a similar track record, but I didn't see it as firsthand. But again, I mean, both are gambles, and I think that's why you see the market for Santana is still he's unsigned. I think both guys are looking for these long-term deals, and this compensation element has really kind of clouded the market and clouded the way teams are viewing this. You know, they're both risks, and you know, and they both were great last season. And if last season, as I've said, you know, before, if they actually did turn corners, then maybe these are going to turn out to be fair and, you know, deals in terms of value. And maybe it'd be a great deal because of what the annual salary is below what those qualifying offers were. So remains to be seen as with anything else, but, you know, this could be a great deal for the Orioles. But we know right now it's definitely a risky one.
Jordan Bastian covers the Indians for MLB.com. Jordan, thank you so much. Great insight.
All right, no problem. Anytime, guys.